Hello and welcome to Cock Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from Twin Swamps, Florida, spring training headquarters of the Grease Monkeys, Car Talk's expansion Major League Baseball club.
Now pitching for the Grease Monkeys, Doug Bunky Berman.
Oh, he's a bum.
At least we don't pay him very much.
That's right. And speaking of worthless, you got any mail to read?
As a matter of fact, this is a good letter here.
Actually, I have an... I hate to jump in ahead of you.
Yeah, go right
in. This is quite short.
Yeah, I got that.
And it won't take long, so you can I don't feel that I'm imposing
pop right in your time.
Know.
No, I mean, you're not. I mean, it doesn't bother me.
If it were a lengthy letter, then you wouldn't have done it.
I wouldn't have done it,
but because it's so brief.
Sure.
Then it doesn't
feel... It doesn't interfere at all. Yeah.
And really, it won't take but a minute.
What
anyway,
is it?
Here it is.
Yeah.
You remember last week or 2 weeks ago or whenever... Sometime in the past.
Not today.
We had a puzzler about that had something about outer space and magnets and...
Yeah.
And I used an expression.
Yes.
Buck naked.
Yeah.
And someone writes, you know, he doesn't give his last name, he just signs Dave, the grand poobah of the universe. Excuse me, but the expression is buck naked. Not buck naked, but... Buck naked.
Naked.
Naked. Yeah, and I remember.
N-E-K-I-D.
No, N-E-K, apostrophe D. Naked.
Apostrophe D.
Buck naked. And I stand corrected, as always.
Actually, I have...
Go ahead, read your great letter.
This is a good letter. This is from Bob DiStefano from somewhere. Harrisburg, Mo, or Mud. Actually, it wasn't the letter that was good. It was the fact that he reminded me about... The veterinarian taxidermist.
One way or another, you'll get your dog back.
Either way, you'll get your dog back. He says, I missed the show a couple of weeks ago, but a close friend tells me you mentioned Rusty's Beer and Welding Shop. Actually, it's Rusty's Ice Cold Beer and Welding Shop in Middletown, Maryland. Oh, this must be MD, not MO. I happen to collect photos of signs of such businesses, and Rusty's was the very first in my collection.
No,
this
kidding.
Guy has nothing better to do. Anyway, I actually stopped in and met Mr. and Mrs. Rusty back in 1980. I've enclosed two photos that I've added to my collection since moving to Missouri. Oh, it is Missouri.
Well, Maryland, Missouri, they're pretty close.
And here it is. One of them is liquor, guns, and ammo. That's a nice combination, but the better one...
Yeah, that's a good combination.
Mrs. B's Donut and Bait Shop. The only place where you can get a dozen crullers and a dozen crawlers at the same time. That's good.
Very good. 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Janine from Juneau.
Hi, Janine.
Janine, how are you?
Yes.
Gee,
I'm doing great, but my Subaru 1988 GL wagon is not so great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're ready. Shoot.
Okay, well, I'm a little bit puzzled because I have two different opinions on this.
You'll now have four.
Okay. I was hearing a noise that sounded like I needed a new muffler. So I thought, okay, I'll take it into the dealer and I'll get a new muffler. And I take it in and they say, no, you don't need a new muffler. You need a new header pipe. And it's this $300 part, and you have a hole in your header pipe, and if you don't get it replaced immediately, you will get sick and die from asphyxiation because the fumes will come in, and it's very dangerous, and it's also very bad for your engine if you don't replace it right away.
Alarmist.
Yes.
And so I thought, well, you know, I don't really want to get asphyxiated, but I still took it to my other mechanic, and I asked what he thought I should do, and he said, oh, a hole in your header pipe, no problem. I mean, you can drive almost forever without replacing it until it gets really big.
And so a non-alarmist.
So we have two camps here.
Kind of worried about it, and so I was driving around with my windows open all the time so that I wouldn't get asphyxiated because I thought maybe I was getting a little bit lightheaded when I drove around. I mean, it is getting louder, eventually, as I drive along, and I am kind of wondering how long I should wait before I replace it. It's probably been 8 months since I...
That's an interesting philosophical question. Let me address all the issues at hand here.
Yes. Technical, philosophical, emotional...
Moral.
Physical, physiological...
Economic.
And economic.
Fine. I'll address
that will be enough.
In one sentence.
Fix it.
First of all, it's a little known fact. You know how miners used to bring birds into the mines?
Yeah.
It's a little known fact that sled dogs succumb to carbon monoxide poisoning long before humans do.
Yes.
So you should always have a sled dog companion riding with you so that if the dog
starts to keel over.
Right.
Then you know.
Or scratch a lot. If they start to scratch a lot, that's an early indication of carbon monoxide poisoning. But the truth is you should fix it. Unless you're planning to get rid of the car, which you're not going to do because it's a relatively new car. What's the reason for not fixing it? Money.
Money.
Well, are you going to have more money 6 months from now? Are you expecting some kind of a windfall? I mean, you're going to have to fix it sooner or later. So you're going to be in the same lousy financial shape you are 6 months from now. Why endure all the brain damage?
Yeah, and all the noise. And all the dirty looks from everyone who pulls up alongside you.
Right, you should have it fixed immediately, I mean, whenever you have a problem.
Of the two mechanics, actually, the alarmist, the first guy, was more correct than the second guy. Because he is right. You are spewing stuff out. It's not that it's going to immediately come into the passenger compartment and kill you.
More nearly correct.
What did I say?
Corrector.
Corrector. he was corrector. Right. And it is, he is true that you are doing damage to your car because the header pipe is right up there next to the engine. And so nothing is going through the muffler. And it's just like having an open circuit, so to speak.
You might burn your valves out.
And you could burn out your valves, exactly.
And if you're going to ride around with it for 8 months like you've already done, you may have already done damage.
You probably already burned out your valves.
So there's no good reason for not fixing it tomorrow.
That's right. And if you can't afford it, you just send in to the Click and Clack Fund for people who can't afford to fix header pipes. And if your name is selected, we'll send you $300.
See you, Janine.
Dream on, Janine.
Get it fixed.
No, get it fixed.
Bye-bye.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Rick from beautiful downtown Conshohocken, Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah, I've been there many times. Conshohocken, Pennsylvania. Must be right in the middle of the state, huh?
Very close to Philadelphia.
Yeah, right there in the middle of the of the state. That's what I thought.
So what's up, Rick?
Well, I have a 1981 Volkswagen Rabbit diesel.
Oh, you poor guy.
81 yeah. Rabbit.
I think this was the place where you would go for.
How many fillings have you had to have redone in the last 5 years?
Because of the vibrations, you mean?
Yeah. When you go to the dentist, does he always say, oh, gee, we're going to have to do these fillings over?
They're
yeah, but you just did these
up
6 months ago.
Well, I'll tell you, my teeth are all right, but it's tough listening to the radio.
Yeah, it sounds like everyone's gargling, right?
Well, that's because you're listening to us.
Okay.
So what's the latest problem with this piece of junk?
Okay, well, what happened to me about 2 weeks ago, I was driving home from Florida, and...
You made it all the way to Florida with this thing?
Yeah, for a weekend.
For a weekend?
You should have a bumper sticker that says, I vibrated all the way to Florida.
There's a lot of weight on the trip, I'll tell you.
That's right.
I ran out of fuel in the middle of the night, in the middle of nowhere. And at that point, I had three options to bail myself out of that problem.
Yeah.
Well, the first was to try to nurse whatever I could get out of the fuel tank. The second one was to ride the bicycle that I had strapped on the back.
If
you have a diesel, you can't travel without those.
Yeah, or a 63 Dodge Dart.
The third one was to pour a bottle of scotch that I had with me into the fuel tank.
Yeah.
And my question is, in an emergency,
yeah,
would the diesel have run on scotch? Now, that's part one.
Mm-hmm.
And part B is, what mileage
could you expect, reasonably expect?
Well, actually, yeah. you know, many moons ago, and I guess I shouldn't divulge it, because we had a puzzler which was similar to this, about a person who was, in fact, on the way to his wedding and ran out of fuel, and we offered a way to get to the wedding.
Right. In fact, he opened the trunk, and what he had in there was a bottle of olive oil.
Yeah.
A bottle of scotch or something like that.
Yeah. And a bottle of water.
And the question was, which one would you add to the tank so you would get to your wedding on time? Which one would you add, Rick?
Which was a mile and a half away.
Right, you'd add the scotch, we know.
Well, if I had olive oil, I would have tried that first.
Well, that would have been the worst choice.
That's the worst choice.
The answer was to drink the scotch.
All right.
And then you wouldn't care whether or not you made it to the wedding.
And yeah, that was my fourth option.
You add the water to the tank because the water doesn't mix with the fuel. It sinks to the bottom, as we know. The fuel floats to the top. and you suck the fuel out.
The premise being that when the tank, when you run out of gas, there truly is a little bit of fuel left in the tank.
That's right.
So you could have used water, or if you didn't want to contaminate your gas tank, you could have used pebbles.
Just to fill it up to...
Just to raise the level up to the pickup tube.
Right, and you wouldn't even notice the vibration caused by these pebbles with the diesel because it sounds like the engine has pebbles in it.
Right, and it would not run on a bottle of scotch.
It probably wouldn't. I don't think you had the scotch as a high enough cetane rating.
Right.
You know, you can safely carry around a can of fuel instead of the bicycle.
Yeah, I know.
Because aside from the fact that it does stink a little bit, it is not dangerous like carrying around a container of gasoline.
Yes, I'm aware of that.
Yeah, so you could do that. You know, I would suggest you strap a 55-gallon drum to the roof.
Well, then I wouldn't have to stop going to Florida.
So what did you do in Florida?
I just visited my parents for the weekend. But usually I have to go down there with children, and for all the years we've been going down there with kids, I never get a chance to talk to my parents.
Ah, so I see.
I like it to go and just see them.
Well, literally for the... I mean, how long did it take you to get down there?
It took me 16 hours and 9 minutes, and coming back, it took me...
See, now here's an interesting thing.
15 hours and 9 minutes, and how much coming back?
15 hours and 25 minutes.
Oh, you must have had a tailwind going down. Huh?
See, now my wife contends that if a woman had made that trip, and you asked her how long did it take you to get there, she wouldn't have the faintest idea. But men, this is some kind of a macho testosterone problem, that getting someplace in 12 minutes less than somebody else is some kind of measure of a man's power, virility, and who knows what else.
Oh, his ability to drive.
And he knows, 15 hours and 9 minutes.
Now, did that include, was that actual driving time, or was that actual?
Did that include stops to get haircuts? And
that did, from the time
everything.
I started the car in contact.
Portal to portal.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It did. 15 hours and 9 minutes in a Volkswagen diesel.
Ah, so it's not that he had a tailwind on his way down. His bladder wasn't working so good on the way back.
Well, Rick, you are quite a guy to drive down and see your folks. I'm sure they're wonderful folks, and I'm sure they appreciated your visit.
Hey, good luck, Rick. Thanks for the call.
Did we answer his question? Oh, yeah, we did. The scotch wouldn't have worked. See you later.
I'm going to carry marbles with me from now on.
Marbles, I like it.
Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot.
Hey, the Puzzler Answer and more calls are coming up right after this.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Discover. Did you know you could reduce the number of unwanted calls and emails with online privacy protection, the latest innovation from Discover? Discover will help regularly remove your personal info, like your name and address, from 10 popular people search websites that could sell your data, and they'll do it for free. Activate in the Discover app. See terms and learn more at discover.com/onlineprivacyprotection.
Well, this is the time during the show when we answer last week's puzzler.
Yes.
This involves giving my brother a quick senility check by asking him to remember something that we both talked about at length.
If I get this right, will Dougie come and clean up my basement?
Before a listening audience of over 1 million. Less than a week ago. Do you remember last week's puzzler?
Yes,
you don't.
I do. Last week's puzzler was about a Frenchman who was buck naked in outer space, and his name was Krusty.
There you go.
Or is it Krusty? Krusty.
No, this, well, you were close. It was about a Frenchman.
That's right. It was about a Frenchman.
Yes, a Frenchman named Lavoisier. Frenchman.
Frenchman.
Okay, and
Frenchman.
Here's how it goes.
They always put the accent on the wrong syllable.
Here's how it goes in a nutshell. This young student of Lavoisier comes to the United States to seek his fame and fortune, mostly fortune. And he did indeed build a very successful business using knowledge he obtained at the hand of the great
Lavoisier.
Okay, and we asked for the name of the company that this student started, and we gave hints.
You did, I recall that. You gave several hints, as I recall. I don't remember what they were.
Hint one. Since the student was studying in
France,
we figured it wouldn't be giving too much away if we mentioned that the nationality of Lavoisier's prodigy was
French.
Ah, very good. The other hint was that this company, which is in existence today.
To this day.
To this day.
As we speak.
Makes products which are found in cars all over the world.
And it's a rather large company.
It's a rather large company. is a rather large. Now, I didn't want to mention that it was located on the East Coast or anything like that. I thought they would be giving too much away.
Well, it's located everywhere.
I mean, it's bad enough. You already know that he is what?
France. Yeah.
And the company makes products that are in cars all over the world.
And we know that Lavoisier was a chemist, and so whatever it was, he learned at the hand of the master.
It must have had something to do with... Not sleight of hand or anything like that.
Chemistry of some kind.
And what this young student learned from Lavoisier was how to make gunpowder. See, Lavoisier was the director of the French Powder Works.
Oh, I thought that was Estee Lauder.
That was his nom de plume. Oh. Lavoisier was the director of the French Powder Works, and he taught this young man how to make gunpowder. And when this young man came to America, he saw what lousy gunpowder was manufactured in this country. And he and his brothers set out to make this improved gunpowder. And this young man's name was Irénée Dupont.
Du Nemours.
Yes, but they dropped...
Something like that. Something they dropped all those other letters.
Yeah, too many. And, of course, everyone knows it.
Everyone has heard of DuPont.
Yes, DuPont makes products, for example, like refrigerant that's responsible for depleting... They who think they know. That it is responsible for the depletion of the ozone layer, et cetera. And DuPont makes all kinds of other automotive-related products. Teflons and plastics and God knows what.
Now you're going to ask me, do we have a winner? And my answer is, yes, we do have a winner. Actually, we got a double winner.
Yes.
Yeah, we got two winners. They are Emily and Galen Molina, ages 12 and 9, respectively. How about that? And they're from, of all places, Moscow, Idaho.
Really? Yeah?
They like this puzzle, they noted, but they hoped... that in the future, they said in their little note, we hope in the future there will be more puzzlers that involve being buck naked.
Naked. So what did they win anyway?
They win stuff, you know, the usual stuff.
Anyway, you ready for a call?
I certainly am. When do I get to rant and rave? Just let me know. Because I just want to be, just give me about a minute's notice so I can get that blood pressure up, adrenaline flowing.
Your shorts riding up on you, boy? 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Judy in Rogers, Arkansas.
Rogers, Arkansas.
Hi, Judy.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, we're just dandy. What's up?
I have an 83 Oldsmobile wagon, and it has less than 80,000 miles on it. And it's got two problems.
What kind of an Olds wagon? A big one?
A Cutlass.
Mm-hmm. A little wagon.
A little one.
Cutlass. Well,
medium.
I consider it little.
It's medium.
But it's doing these two little strange things. And, you know, sometimes when a woman takes a car to a shop, they don't believe us.
Yeah, we've heard that before.
Here's the first little thing it does.
Okay.
The first thing it does, after I take off from a stop, it feels like, the best way I can describe this is it feels like I'm towing something really, really heavy, and then whatever I'm towing
falls off.
Exactly. And then it's like, you know, retro jets kicking in.
Really?
Really.
And this happens, again, exactly when does this happen? I'm working on a theory.
Generally, when it's cold.
Yeah.
Always when I take off from a stop, and never in reverse.
Yeah.
Oh, when it's cold outside.
Yeah.
But the engine.
I mean, it does seem to have been worse this winter, and we've had a bad winter.
So you say that when you start off from a dead stop, so if you drive for 5 minutes and stop, it will happen again. It will continuously happen every time you come to a stop.
Not every time. I don't notice it so much. When I don't have very far to go when I drive anywhere, so I don't drive it for very long at a time.
But does it improve as the engine warms up?
Yes, I think it does.
Okay.
Okay, that was the question. That was what I was getting at.
Okay, so it's that first takeoff from a dead stop that you really feel
it.
That lag.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, boom, it takes off.
Exactly.
I think you're making this up, Judy.
I knew you'd say that.
All right, what's the other problem? While we work on this one, tell us what the other one is.
That can't possibly happen, ma'am.
And now this one... is one that I cannot get any...
Wait, Judy, when they tell you that you're crazy and that this doesn't happen, do they call you ma'am or lady, or what do they refer to you as?
We're in the the South here, we use ma'am.
Ma'am. Sorry, ma'am, but your mind is gone.
Yes, yeah. They'll say, well, yes, ma'am, it may do that for you, but it didn't do it when I drove it.
Oh, well, see, at least they leave the opening. It may do it for you.
Oh, yeah, that's what they usually say. Now, here's the other thing.
Up here in the North, let me just interrupt you one more time, where we don't have Southern gentlemanly manners.
Get used to this. He does it all the time.
Where we don't have Southern gentlemanly manners. Mechanics don't even say it may happen to you. They just say, it doesn't do it, lady.
No. Well,
in other words, you're nuts. All right, what's the next problem?
Little thing.
Yeah.
When I come to a stop, just in the split second before the car finally stops...
There's a clicking noise.
Are you mind readers?
He's not even a mind user.
A mind is a terrible
exactly
thing, you know that?
That's what it does. But nobody, you really can't hear it. But I can hear it best when I pull into the garage.
Yeah.
Just before I hit the deep freeze, you know.
Yeah.
I hear this click, and it always does this. And I figure it's nothing because it's always done it, but it just kind of bugs me that I'm the only one who hears it.
Yeah, I don't think the click is related to the first problem, although
I don't think so either.
Well, I got two theories for the first problem. What do you got? You got the same two?
I have nothing. I have nothing.
This is a show about nothing.
Yes. No, I always have theories.
Oh, no, you do. You're never at a loss for a theory.
Right.
You're better at theories than actual knowledge. Is that right?
That was cruel, Judy.
That was. But true.
But true, yeah. No, I mean, my two theories. One, the first theory I developed before you gave an additional piece of information, and that was that I thought you had something wrong with the brakes, that you had a brake caliper that was sticking.
Oh, very close.
Or a brake shoe that was hanging up.
Well, I was going to ask a question.
Yeah.
And that is, do you use the emergency brake when you park?
Never.
Yeah, I knew she didn't.
Yeah, well...
There goes that theory.
Actually, I had formulated my... In my own defense, I'll say I had formulated my theory before you even called, Judy.
No. And then... So that was theory A. Theory two was when you mentioned that it happens when it's cold. And then I developed theory two, which was transmission troubles.
Whoa.
Huh?
Yeah, that's the theory I've been worried about, too.
Yeah, everyone worries about that.
Well, when you take off and the car doesn't seem to go, does it sound like the engine is revving up but the car not going? This is an important question.
This is an important question. Think carefully about your answer.
Right.
Always phrase it in
the form of a question.
No, it doesn't. It just feels like I'm giving it gas and nothing's
happening. Okay.
And you don't hear the engine revving up. The engine doesn't want to go.
Right.
Okay, I think you may have a weak accelerator pump in the carburetor.
What?
Yeah. And you have intense hesitation.
Intense?
Right, and that's why it improves and it warms up, although I cannot discount the possibility that you do have a stuck brake. Maybe you do have a stuck caliper. Maybe you do have a stuck emergency brake, even though you don't use it.
With a brake on somewhere?
Yeah, that's what it would be. It would be the equivalent of driving with the brake on. That would be a nice one, because that would be relatively inexpensive to fix.
Yeah, and that might also incorporate the clicking noise, too, into the whole theory.
Yeah, that's why I gave you the click.
Convenient theory, then.
Yeah.
It is a convenient theory.
Yeah, theories always have to incorporate all of the data.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No matter how ridiculous it sounds.
That's
right. So I would leave this thing overnight with your mechanic.
Okay.
And tell him that you want to drive it the next morning with him.
And
let him drive, or you can drive if you want, and let him experience and hear the noises and whatever that you experience, and he'll figure it out in 2 minutes.
I'm intimately acquainted with my mechanic now. So.
You are, huh? Does your husband know this?
There won't be any problems to spend the night with him.
We'll be right back with more calls and the new puzzler after these messages.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to try to answer your questions.
Is it rant and rave time yet?
Cars, car repair pretty soon, and how to negotiate contracts with aging free agent baseball players.
Like Bunky Berman.
Okay, look, it's time for the new puzzle.
It's time to rant and rave?
No.
No, okay.
This is for all the legal minds. And we know we have a lot of lawyers that listen to the show. They all work for Chrysler, GM, Ford, right?
Ford, Toyota.
So we do have a lot of lawyers that listen to the show on a regular basis. And we frequently get letters from these lawyers.
Frequently.
It's an understatement, I guess.
It is, yes.
So this is a legal matter, I would imagine. Here it is. It's very simple, very brief.
I'm sure you can confuse it.
A man is accused of a crime.
I got it.
Okay? He comes before judge and jury and is tried for said crime. Wicked crime, like murder or something.
Yeah.
And he is
heinous, I think.
Heinous.
A heinous crime. Yeah.
Heinous crime. And he is convicted. He is found guilty of this crime. Okay?
Yeah, we got it.
Got it? So he is accused, tried, and convicted.
Yeah.
And the judge says, your guilt has been proven. The jury has found you guilty. Yet by law, I am compelled to set you free.
Ooh.
Why? Yes, why? And how?
The jury has found you guilty.
What kind of a crime could he have committed where the judge is bound to set him free?
Ooh.
If you think you know the answer.
Yeah.
If you think you know the answer, get a pencil.
Get a pencil.
Write this down. Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our Fair City.
Ma 02238. I'll spell Harvard Square for you youngsters who may not be familiar with Massachusetts spelling. It's H-A-H-V-A-H-D. That's the first word.
There's a university by that name. You may have heard of it.
Squaya. S-Q-U-A-Y-A-H.
That's right. That's a large tree that grows in California.
And if your answer is correct, and it's the one we choose at random from among all the right answers, you will win a Car Talk t-shirt. And yes, an autographed copy of our mediocre book, Car Talk.
Both? Ready? Wait a minute. And they will win both? Since when did we get so magnanimous, if you may pardon my lingo?
Did I say
and
both?
You said you will win a t-shirt and an autographed copy of our meteoric book.
Unless you don't want it. Or.
You can send it
and
back.
Or.
And or. Okay. Whatever we decide.
1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
Scott from Miller Beach, Indiana.
Miller Beach, Indiana.
Boy, if ever there was a misnamed place, it's probably that, huh?
Yeah, I mean, what beach do we have in Indiana? What ocean is out there?
Well, it's at the very southern tip of Lake Michigan.
Ah.
It is.
No kidding.
It's about 40 miles from Chicago.
Okay, I guess that qualifies. See, we that live on the East Coast, imagine a beach being someplace where there is salt water, seaweed, seagulls.
No. I can acknowledge that there are beaches on lakes. I didn't know that Lake Michigan touched Indiana.
Oh, it touches a lot of states.
Yeah, it touches like Michigan even.
I knew about that one. Okay, in any event, enough geography. I'm sick of geography. What's up, Scott?
Okay, now I have a 1980 Chevy Monte Carlo, which is a problem, but that's not the actual problem.
Okay.
I live on top of a sand dune overlooking the lake. And my driveway is 270 feet long up a steep hill. And it's all covered with snow, and there's no way that I'm going to go out there and shovel that. So my neighbor, who also has an old Chevy, says, all I got to do is go out and put one strip of salt up the hill, and as long as my right rear tire is on that strip of salt, I can go right up the hill because an old Chevy, the right rear wheel is the drive wheel.
He's nuts.
That's what I thought. I was going to try it, but you know, I figured I'd end up in a ditch and beat an old sprint.
The right rear wheel is the drive wheel. No, I mean, it may be that it's sometime in the many, many, many decades ago that was true, but I certainly never heard of one wheel being the drive wheel
on
any vehicle.
It
sounds like a golf cart or a go-kart or something.
And it certainly isn't the case on your Monte Carlo. There will be times when the right rear wheel will be the drive wheel, and there will be times when the left wheel will be the drive wheel. But most of the time... Both of them are. The only time that one of them becomes the wheel that gets all the power is when the other one is on ice. So if you make a nice path with salt for one wheel, the other tire will spin like crazy.
And you'll get nowhere.
Right. So you need to put two paths.
Yeah.
Well, see, if I'm going to go through all that trouble, I might as well just shovel it.
Shovel 270 feet of driveway?
No, I think not.
No, are you crazy?
I think not.
Yeah, we had a puzzle about this just a few weeks ago.
Well, that was that's why that was what brought this up to my mind.
Yes.
you know, it sounded good, but now what I don't understand is why would you build a device that, that the one that doesn't have any traction spins and the one with traction doesn't spin? Does that make any sense?
Yeah, isn't that funny?
Well,
because they didn't design it for that purpose. They really designed it so that the car would go around corners.
Oh, see, when you make a turn, let's say you're making a right-hand turn, the right side wheels must turn more slowly than
the outside,
or fewer revolutions than the left side wheels.
Okay, that makes sense.
It's no problem on your car for the front wheels because they're independent. They're not connected. But the rear wheels are connected via all the rear axle gears. So you must have some provision for making one wheel speed up and one wheel slow down, and the differential does that.
That's why it's called a differential. They can spin at differential speeds.
Uh-huh.
So if one wheel slows down by one revolution per minute, the other one will speed up by one.
So it's just a sort of unhappy byproduct of this design that if you happen to be on ice, you're in trouble.
That explains it.
But they,
that does
explain they solve the problem by having limited slip differential, which you don't have in your car.
Throw a plow on the front of that Monte Carlo and just go barreling right down that hill.
Yeah, I would try to go away for the winter if I were you. 200.
Well, you know, basically, what I do, I just shove a little spot out down by the street and walk up the hill.
There you go.
Are you talking? Sure.
You know, if you can sit, I often thought that if I lived in a place like this where I had a long driveway, I would have some kind of a winch system.
Now, there's an idea.
There's an idea.
I mean, that might not cost you too much money.
No.
And you could use the winch to let you down, too. So when it was icy...
So it's down there when you come back.
Well, you just leave the hook right down there.
You leave the hook at the bottom of the hill.
Right.
That's a good idea.
Is you go, you pull into the driveway at night, you call your wife on your mobile phone, and tell her to go out and turn on the winch.
Press the button on the winch.
After you've hooked it up to your bumper.
Yeah, and make sure you don't hook it up to your belt buckle, or you'll be in a lot of trouble.
I'd move, Scott, if I were you. Good luck, man.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. There's no end to the number of old wives' tales that are extant in this country.
Isn't it great?
It is great.
Well, another precious hour of your youth has been squandered listening to Car Talk.
They've all been squandered.
Our producer is Douglas Q. Berman, known locally as Dougie that Bum.
No, Bunky. Bunky Berman.
Bunky?
Yeah, he's a baseball player now.
Oh, okay. Our associate producer and dean of the College of Auto Musicology is Ken Babyface Rogers. Our engineer and assistant producer is Jennifer Jiffy Loeb. Our technical advisor is John Lawler. And our chief bottle washer is Ken Okuno.
Which John Lawler is that now? Let me just check on that.
Is he still awake?
That would be John, Mr. Lieutenant John Lawler.
Yeah, that's it. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research. Our communications director is George Stay on Top of This. The chairman of the Car Talk Math Department is Horatio Algebra. The head of computer services here is Semiconductor. And our director of long-range strategic planning is Kay Sarai, the famous Kay Sarai.
Who's she married to now?
Frank Sarai.
Oh.
Now she's known as...
Kay Sarai.
Our staff geneticist is Dr. Gene Poole. Go ahead. I like the music.
Whatever will be.
Our transportation coordinator is Rick Shaw. Our staff composer is Bill of Car Talk. And our tax consultant is Lou Pohl. And our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Huey Lewis Dewey.
When
known
I was
the
just...
the establishments of Harvard Square is Huey Louis Dewey.
I asked my mama...
We're Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Will I be handsome or will I be rich?
No, you won't. Thanks for listening. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And although it hasn't been up to its usual high standards for the last hour or so, take our word for it. This is NPR, National Public Radio.